The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports us at patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number, 1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me as always from Austin, Texas is Willie Dills Gregory, who injured his arm, and now I think you're just going to have to be like Cowboy Bob Orton and just have a cast for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I can use it as a weapon, you know.
Yeah.
I can smash people in the head, and then, you know, it's doesn't DQ me, right?
Because no.
It's just I have to wear it. Yeah.
Yeah. He asked. Yeah. Listen, you go ahead and talk to his doctor if you had a problem with it, because it's fully legal. He's got a note.
By the way, isn't that the weirdest thing in wrestling, that if you get hit by anything that is not a fist or a foot, or, you know, or the floor, the ring, the mat, if you get hit by anything else, it's just like instantaneous knockout, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, but then again, things go even looser in movies, right? Where you just get like one right cross to the face, no matter what the body weight of anybody.
That guy's like out for a while.
Immediately knocks you out for as long as, you know, you physically need to be out story-wise.
But it depends. Like, if it's like a Seagal punch or, you know, a Schwarzenegger punch, like those, it's like a big dog punch, right? That's
sure.
Like a Superman punch. You gotta, those take you down. So. And then, of course, anybody who's not a wrestler, too, if they get like backed into a little bit hard, a referee, like they're just
they're done for
minutes. Yeah.
No. Earl Hebner is corpsing, you know, if you accidentally twerk into him too hard.
If you look at him funny. Yep. They're down. That's it.
We have a bunch of wrestling to talk about, both in and out of the ring. A lot of outside the ring kind of stuff. A big weekend for Ring of Honor. Obviously, WWE has kind of begun cranking into gear, bringing the Shield reunion now in full swing. But, you know, the number one thing that you have here on the sheet here, Willie, is a backlash that I don't know I was aware of. So go ahead and explain your premise here.
Well, okay, so there's Ring of Honor just recently had a pay-per-view. I think, what was it, yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Global Wars.
Global Wars, yeah. In Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10-15, so it was yesterday. But I was, you know, and there was the Bullet Club was a huge, huge piece of this. They even had the closing of the show, had Cody and you know, like basically all the Bullet Club out there. And Kenny Omega was even there, and they did, you know, a giant promo to like finish the show. They bring out, or they are asking to, does anybody have a phone? All of a sudden here comes Jimmy Jacobs. We're going to talk more about him later on.
Yeah.
So there's just like, you know, all this stuff. It's basically, this was like the quintessential Bullet Club, like all the jokes all pulled into one.
Yeah.
They even, instead of the two suite, which they're no longer allowed to do, they pulled out the one suite.
Yes.
Which is the, you just put the pinky down.
Kind of,
right?
Yeah.
Which I think they should have gone with the shock suite. I think I would have gone with that instead, where you, you know, two, yeah.
So a tighter beak with a, I guess it's harder to do, though.
It is a little bit hard to do, yeah. But it was, so the whole, like, basically this was all the inside jokes, all of the stuff that has kind of been part of the recent Bullet Club stuff, which is just, you know, all, it's kind of like they're feuding with WWE right now, in a way.
They are.
Right?
Oh, no. I mean, listen to that promo and realize how much of it is literally them fighting with WWE. And the difference is that before, I mean, every indie wrestler on some level fights with WWE, right? Because whenever you say, we have the best fans in the world, what you're really saying is not like everybody else, like the big other organizations, of which WWE is universal.
It's a huge part of indie wrestling in general is just making everybody who's at that little show that's not being seen by a bunch of people feel like they're at something special, right?
Yes.
And it's part of what the fans do. You know, this is awesome, fight forever, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like,
and this is throughout
like, hyping the thing they're at.
Because
right?
this is throughout entertainment, though, right?
Yeah,
like, everyone's
sure.
like, no, we're the real punk band, not like those assholes Blink 182, right?
Or I liked Green Day before they were all on MTV yeah. and stuff, right? Yeah. It's true. I mean, this is not just confined to wrestling. This is just in anything at all. If you are a fan of The Walking Dead, the comic book, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, this show sucks. You know, it's all about the comic book. Like, there's all that kind of stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
But this is kind of to the nth degree here with what Bullet Club is doing. They're really just this is their gimmick at this point.
Well, and because, you know, Joey Ryan, who I consider a friend of the show, even though he probably doesn't know who we are, you know, tweeted out that, you know, I wish I had an opponent that would sell for me as much as the WWE is selling for the Bullet Club right
sure.
now.
Yeah.
Where, when you think about it, you know, let's say this is not a work. You know, this is not some bizarre trans promotional work between the Young Bucks and the WWE, right? But let's assume it was. I don't know what they could do more than what they're doing, which is
sure.
to slowly C&D every little element that they could, right? To fire their friends. There's like, what else could they do if they wanted to make the Young Bucks even bigger than they are right now?
No, they are fanning the flames like full. They are tossing gasoline onto this fire for sure. But I think this is why I'm starting to see, because if you go into R Squared Circle, for a long time, you never saw a disparaging word about the Bullet Club. The Bullet Club was, you know, the new NWO, right?
Yes.
To all these people. And the one they can get behind because it's coming out of, you know, New Japan. It's coming out of Ring of Honor. And a lot of people kind of look at those as like, okay, if you're into those, you're into real wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people on Squared Circle really like to think of themselves as like real wrestling fans. They know about everything going on in every promotion. They always talk about how this is the last Raw I'm going to watch. This was so terrible.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. They love it. Now, all of a sudden, I'm seeing these comments like, Bullet Club has jumped the shark. Oh, my God. Everything Bullet Club does is so stupid and lame. They're just sellouts in the same way they're trying to portray WWE as sellouts. Because, you know, they're selling their shirts and Hot Topic. And, you know, they're making a ton of money now, these guys. And there was a whole bunch in the promo where Kenny Omega is saying, everybody who hits the like button, everybody who hits the subscribe button, he's like selling the YouTube content in the promo.
Yeah.
And so I kind of see where people are starting to maybe get a little bit apprehensive about where this might be going and are starting to turn on him a little bit. But I don't know. Like, do you still feel like Bullet Club is kind of just doing their best work,
this is the most relevant to me they've been in years since AJ left. You know, I think they really suffered when, you know, Finn goes and they bring in AJ, and then not only does AJ go, but Gallows and Anderson go. They were a huge part of it. So I think to me now, that's when the Bullet Club was the only thing that you really can be. Which is, or sorry, you can't be in professional wrestling, which is boring and skippable. The Bullet Club was kind of boring and skippable for a little bit. And now I think that they're incredibly vibrant, down to the fact that, you know, we're probably going to get a inter-Bullet Club Wrestle Kingdom match between, you know, Cody and Kenny, which is going to be awesome. I think that there's a lot of really, really cool stuff. And the fact that, I mean, come on, the Bucks are in a feud with the World Wrestling Federation, with World Wrestling Entertainment, with Vince McMahon himself. And who is going to profit more in
yeah.
any kind of fight between them? I will guarantee you that it is the Young Bucks that will make more money on a cease and desist letter that comes from the WWE than WWE will ever make in preventing the Young Bucks from making that money.
In fact, the Young Bucks are going over in this feud. Like right now, 100%. They are well ahead, right? They're not getting the Bray Wyatt treatment. They are not taking the pinfalls. Everything they do is just elevating them even more. And I'm with you. I think this is, you know, it's a big blow to lose a guy like AJ. It's a big blow to lose a guy like Finn Balor. It's crazy how then all of a sudden, oh, we got the other guy, the best guy. Kenny Omega just steps right in, yeah, and we're good to go. Like, they never seem to run out of steam. So, you know, if you think about NWO, which I feel like in a lot of ways, Bullet Club just is modeled 100% after.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
But if you think about them, it got to a certain point where, you know, they did jump the shark. They suddenly had every single wrestler, like, who were they even fighting against at a certain point? They were just, if it wasn't for Sting, they had nothing else to fight against, right? They had literally taken over. You have to be able to fight against somebody for it to work.
Yeah.
To come across as these kind of rebels. And who's better than that than the WWE, who will never, you know, join? By the way, WWE didn't really do themselves a favor if they really wanted to bury the Bullet Club by making Balor Club shirts. Yeah. Because I'm sure a bunch of people were like, what is that? And then looked into it a little bit and realized, oh, well, this is even cooler.
Or then creating a tag team named The Club. Like,
yeah, exactly.
like, what other club are they referencing? You know, is it a club sandwich? Is it the United Club? Like what other club element are these two guys that were very famously in this other club?
Yeah, and you know, and like that, I can see where people are coming from. That maybe in their mind, when you go to an indie show and 75% of the crowd is wearing Bullet Club shirts, then you might start to feel like, oh no, this is mainstream now. And so now I'm supposed to rail against this.
I
right?
mean, like
when
spoiler,
we were in Vegas, how many people, you know, were too sweet in you in the lobby?
Oh, yeah, 1.5 million people were doing it. But guess what? It's not mainstream. You know, I don't care if literally everybody in that Ring of Honor show and every indie show and half of the WWE stadiums and arenas are wearing Bullet Club shirts. You explain that T-shirt to your mom, right?
Yeah.
Like if you have to do it, it's not mainstream. And
exactly. She knows who John Cena is. She does not know who the Bullet Club is. So,
yeah.
To me, I think it's a little premature to be backlashing the Bullet Club, but it's one of those, I'm super cool and I'm on to the next thing, right?
Oh, and
there's a lot of that going around in our squared circle for sure.
I guess that's the thing is I could see that argument a couple years ago or a year ago, a year and a half ago. That's when I would say, all right, you know, when it you know, Kenny was still coming into his own. I thought they did a good transition out of AJ, but it just kind of seemed like, all right. Well, when Adam Page joined, Adam Cole joined, mm-hmm. It just kind of felt like, well, Adam Cole's just kind of there because they just need somebody else and they like Adam Cole and, you know, they just need something to do. Like that to me was when it felt a little left out. Now it's great. I don't know. I think it's really exciting. You know,
yeah.
I feel like it's about as relevant as it has been in a long time. And if anything, I would say that an IWC backlash is the surest sign that, you know, it's working.
No, I'm with you. I think right now this is, it's getting a lot of attention, and for good reason. It is the most interesting thing going on in wrestling to me right now. I mean, it's like there's a lot you could say about each of these individual guys. Like maybe Cody doesn't put on the greatest matches ever. You could talk about the ability to talk of guys like, you know, like some of the guys in the Bullet Club currently. But like when I saw the guys that were all in that ring, I'm like, all these guys are friggin' stars.
Yeah.
They have just 7 guys out there. All of them are stars in their own right. And like maybe Hangman is like the guy who's still kind of coming up. But I think at this point, Marty Scurll is like huge in his own right. There's so many umbrellas in the damn crowd. Like there's not a single like weak link in that group. And you look at like NWO, there was always guys in the background who were like, why is that guy there?
I think
a lot of guys.
You know,
that doesn't feel that way with Bullet Club to me.
You know, the NWO is a different. It is a different beast because at the end of the day, the top 3 guys were always going to be the top 3 guys because they were the biggest stars. But there's only so much they could work. You know,
sure.
There's only so much Kevin Nash could go. There's only so much Hulk Hogan's the biggest star. You know, possibly ever. But there's, I mean, if anything, he screwed up because he didn't lose when he should have.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't let it go. But anywho.
This doesn't always work this well either, too. Think of Aces and Eights. Did you ever watch any of that TNA stuff when that was a big deal?
No, not really. I wasn't really. That was in my blackout period.
That was a blackout phase. All right. So I watched a little bit of it, but it was close to that for me, too. But I remember coming out of it, and it was the big – it was Bully Ray was marrying Hulk Hogan's daughter and all that. But they were, like, always hanging out in some secret club in the back, you know, wrapping themselves up in chains and stuff. They were really trying hard to replicate that, and it never quite worked, right?
Yeah.
And Bullet Club, it just kind of worked from the beginning, and it's continued to work. So I am not on board the backlash train. I'm still all in on Bullet Club.
I guess the other thing about the Bullet Club that's fun is that they seem to be having fun. The part of their brand is, we are guys that are good at our job and we like doing it. And we want you to have fun watching this professional wrestling with us that we enjoy doing and we hope you enjoy watching.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's just kind of, that's exactly my relationship.
Very genuine too. It doesn't feel like they're manufacturing that. They're kind of just pulling whatever they want out and just doing it. And it's all hitting, you know, it's all working. So yeah, I'm with you.
All right. Well, you brought up Jimmy Jacobs, so let's go ahead and talk about that, because I don't know how much is here, but I did want to ask you this. So for those of you who are not aware, Jimmy Jacobs, who I actually saw his last match in Ring of Honor. I didn't really even know who the hell he was, but he had his last match of Ring of Honor the WrestleMania weekend a couple of years ago when it was here in San Francisco. And he goes to WWE as a writer.
He had a couple matches there too. I was looking him up because I remember he looked familiar to me, but I couldn't really place why, because I never saw him in Ring of Honor. But he actually fought. Let me see if I can find this again. He actually came to WWE and fought somebody really big and a long time ago. Oh yeah, he won a match against Eddie Guerrero in 2005.
Oh my God, Jesus!
On SmackDown, yeah. But then that was basically it. And then he came back as a member of the Exotic Express for a little bit, and then moved into the creative role as a writer. So gotcha. He's just been a writer for the last couple of years, basically.
Now, I don't know beyond what I've heard in interviews with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Everything that Jimmy Jacobs has done. I do know, as everybody...
He wrestled for a long time in Ring of Honor. I know that.
Oh, no. I mean in WWE.
I don't really know what he was responsible for there at all.
Well, according to interviews with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, Jimmy Jacobs was influential in their whole friendship angle and breakup. So... He was the guy who came up with the list and the whole you want to know what I have, it's the pause it, right? All that was apparently Jimmy Jacobs' production. Now, I don't know that. This is just what I've heard. What we do know is that he's fired. And he got fired because during the Bullet Club's invasion of Raw... For being the elite, Jimmy Jacobs came out of the arena and took a picture with the Bullet Club, who he's known forever, and then posted it on Instagram. This wound up, I guess, rankling the powers that be, according to stuff from Meltzer and Pro Wrestling Sheet, Ryan Satin at the Pro Wrestling Sheet. So here's my question to you. How much can we really care about this beyond the larger meta narrative of, you know, Bullet Club versus WWE? Rationally, how much can we care about this beyond this weird meta storyline?
Well, I'll say this. I think a lot of people who are WWE fans had no idea who Jimmy Jacobs was, right?
Yeah.
To them, it's got to be a little bit weird when they find out who he is and then... like the, I think the problem that this makes WWE look pretty petty, I think, in my mind. And I do understand that, you know, if you're at your job, your new job as a competitor of your old job, you're actually like literally competing essentially. Although nobody really competes with the WWE at this point, let's just be honest. But, you know, you're at your job, you're at work, and then they all come over and then you go outside and essentially, you know, put them over with a picture. I can see why that would be upsetting, but I think there had to be something else going on for that to just lead to just firing him, right? Like, it seems a little like an overreaction.
I mean, I guess that's the thing, though. It's like, how can we even talk about it? Like, we have no idea what his relationship with his superiors were like. We really have no idea what job he did.
This is the information that we have, and doesn't that just seem a little bit bizarre that just one action just is enough to just drop the guy completely, especially if what we also have heard that he's a big part of one of the best things that happened on Raw in the last year.
Clearly
this guy's doing good work.
I think that if we only take that information and we put it together, then yes, you can make a very compelling argument to say that this was petty and stupid and that the WWE should have known better and that Jimmy Jacobs is a valued part of the product for which we enjoy. Do I know that that's true? Absolutely not.
No, you don't. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter if we know that that's what's true. That's going to be the perception of a lot of people. A lot of people are going to look at this now because a lot of people aren't going to think deeper than the things that they already know. They're not going to think, oh, there must be stuff I don't know. They're just going to think, oh, my God, WWE fired him just for taking a picture? That's insane. And, you know, that's, you know, in a lot of ways, it doesn't really matter what the truth is. It matters what the perception of most people is, right? So it's not a good look for WWE. And, like, and I actually haven't, like, read anything about them saying, well, he was also doing this or that or the other thing. So it's not like they're giving us anything else to go on. So, you know, if anything, what this actually probably does is makes Jimmy Jacobs a bigger name than he ever was on the indie scene, and now he's probably going to have a nice little run if he wants it. But it's also probably a little bit sad for him because I got to imagine writing for the biggest promotion in the world has got to be one of the better jobs you can land in wrestling, right?
I mean, so, he wanted to do it more than he wanted to be a Ring of Honor stars, which is what he was before.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, now clearly because he went back and then they took another selfie at the end of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Yeah. Now he's clearly embracing it and kind of taking it all in stride. So, you know, I guess what's going to happen now is he's probably going to get back in the ring and be part of the Bullet Club or something. I don't, you know, that seems like where we're going with this. And WWE, like, you can't really do anything that's going to mess them up. They're going to be just fine. But there's probably a lot of fans who are not very happy with them right now. So it's just a weird thing. Personally, I don't really care if suddenly all the storylines suck and we never get anything as good as Kevin Owens and Jericho, then okay. Yeah. Maybe that hurts me a little bit, but in the end, there's lots of writers there. There's lots of talented people out there who come with cool stuff. I don't think he's the end, you know, and they'll be all of professional wrestling.
I guess
writing,
that's so. The other thing is that, like, based on, we now have access to stories both current and past of what it's like to be a writer in WWE, right? And half of all, we might be the only wrestling podcast that does not have at least one co-host that says two or three times an episode, well, when I was writing for WWE.
Sure.
And every one of them, almost to a man, even the ones that are really, really far up, like Bruce Pritchard, who was effectively Vince McMahon's right-hand man, right, and could actually, like, talk back to Vince, will tell you that there's really only one person for whom gets their artistic vision on television, and that's Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Like, that's it. So was he able to communicate really well? Like, I guess that's the thing. I don't quite know how much we should care, except for the fact that it seems like Jimmy Jacobs is friends with all my favorite wrestlers, so I guess I like him more.
I'm just curious as a fan of all of it, right? I'm not just a WWE or just an indie fan. I don't really distinguish the two and say, this one's better. They're two different versions of a product that I really like. And this to me is just, this is a cool storyline that I'm interested in following. So I don't know. Like, I'm not really losing much, I don't think. Yeah. If anything, I'm gaining like another piece to this entire WWE versus Bullet Club storyline, which has been riveting so far.
Man, what if, I just thought of this right now, if like the Bullet Club or the Young Bucks like cease and desist on Too Sweet, is WWE just saying, hey, look, we're not going to let you make money on our intellectual property outside of us making money on the intellectual property. But your act really got over. You could really get it over again if you came on over to the dark side.
Yeah. Now, do you think, though, that they're all kind of at some point destined for it? Because, you know, wrestling works that way, right? That everybody redeems themselves at some point. Everybody turns at some point. You know, like even the guy, even like Hulk Hogan, right? Like turned at some point, right? It's, and then people kind of come back. That's like the, you know, and this isn't really coming back, but it's just kind of how the world works in wrestling, right? So
I mean, here's,
I feel like at some point they're destined to spend a little time there.
Here's what I would say to, based on my totally uninformed opinion. If you want to at some point ply your trade in a football stadium, there is one company that can do that. That's it. There's a lot of other companies where, I mean, Austin Aries just tweeted out that his next 6 weeks, he's going to make more money than he made in his last 6 months at WWE on the Indies, right?
And a lot of that has to do with his being in WWE. So.
It does, right?
Yeah.
But there's only one company that can let you do your, they can let you ply your trade in a football stadium. That's it.
That's true. Absolutely.
All right. Well, speaking of that company, it's WWE, spoiler alert. And we're going to actually talk about, we're going to keep this positive because the WWE did something that people in general really, really liked, and that was, number one, reuniting the Shield, and number two, making things a little surprising, the way that the Shield kind of was fun and surprising when they were together the first time. So not only are they obviously building up their match at TLC with The Bar and Miz, but now they've folded in Braun Strowman into the mix. They dismantled Braun Strowman. Roman Reigns is going to have a steel cage match with him tonight on Raw. But this Shield reunion, how is it for you so far, Willie Dills?
Well, I'll say this. It was, we knew it was happening. We knew it was coming. I found it a little bit interesting that they decided to do it as the opening segment of Raw, right? Because where do you go from there, right? That's going to be the biggest pop of the night. So it was that call was the only thing where I was like, okay, did it at the very beginning, could have done it at the end, but nothing about this didn't work, that's for sure. And yeah. I am super hyped for what's coming. I really like the fact that, because I think a lot of people too are saying, if it's the Miz and the Miztourage is like their first opponent, then that's not going to feel like there's any like question mark on who wins, right?
Yeah.
But then suddenly you bring in Sheamus and Cesaro and you go, oh, okay, all right. Now we're going to just get just an amazing match, right?
Yeah.
So I love that little twist was added to the whole thing.
Well, and now it's 3-on-4 with Braun, right?
Well, do we know that Braun is going to actually be part of that match? Or
is it? I thought
they're adding, they're really doing 3-on-4?
I don't know. Somebody double check with that.
Okay, well, that's pretty entertaining as well. Because, yeah, the Shield was like, they were the unstoppable force, right? They were just, nobody could beat them, right?
Well, and it's like anybody that was screwing around, which is all of professional wrestling, is somebody screwing around. Next thing you know, it could be, you know, Sierra Hotel India.
Sure.
Echo Lima. What's the D? Delta. The Shield.
It's definitely, like, they can do kind of anything at this point. I think people are kind of expecting now a long run where the Shield is fighting against a bunch of other stables. I kind of don't think that's what we're going to get, though. I'm seeing a little bit more like we're going to get a few really fun Shield matches And then we're going to get something that shakes the whole thing up so that Roman can go along his merry way.
No, I think this, they learned their lesson. They're going to keep this the Shield thing around until WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, WrestleMania would be like a logical, but I think we're still seeing, yeah, it's still going to be Roman one-on-one versus Brock, right? And then I think the rumor now is it's going to be like a Dean Ambrose heel turn. And then him and Rollins will now have like kind of a reverse feud from what they had the first time. Because you remember, it was kind of funny how when everything fell apart because of Seth Rollins, like they didn't, you know, for a while it was Seth and Roman,
Dean,
like,
yeah.
Or I mean, Dean and Roman looking for Seth. And then it kind of devolved into like just these one-on-one feuds.
Yeah.
But like, it's kind of going to be a reversal of that. So that could be interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, no, this is official. It is The Shield versus Miz, The Bar, and Braun Strowman.
Wow.
3-on-4 at TLC.
Okay, good luck, boys.
I think it's going to be fun. That's a hell of a match, man. That's going to be that's great. It really shows you how strong that roster is right now in terms of how many people they have over. And say what you will about Roman Reigns, obviously, but the reunited Shield is they pulled a Wu-Tang Clan. Like they launched as a group. They all went their separate ways. They all got bigger. And now they are together, and I think that it is a bigger, better group for it. They got to keep that. They got to keep them together through WrestleMania. There's no way that they can be so stupid if they're going to put the title on Roman again to not have. Also, the Shield, Roman as a member of the Shield versus Brock Lesnar just feels more interesting than Roman by himself, right?
I mean, no, I'm with you. I would like to see them approach it in that kind of fashion, but I just get the sense that they really want to push Roman as this solo competitor, right? He was kind of the reluctant one to kind of end up joining back up with Seth and Dean. I think they kind of, you know, they want him to be the star on his own, and I don't know, maybe that's something that they shouldn't be wanting so badly, but that's the thing that I'm a little concerned with. They should probably just let this play out naturally, give the crowd what they want, because this is what the people want, for sure.
This is, for sure.
So this is just like a TLC match? Is this just going to be like pinfall, but there's just going to be like a bunch of tables, ladders, and chairs? They're not hanging anything above the ring or anything, right?
No. I think just all implements are legal.
Okay, got it. So we're going to see a bunch of crazy spots in this match. This is going to be a bloodbath.
Well, I'll tell you, DPW95 says, let's pray they don't lazy book a four-way main event for Mania with all three members of the Shield versus Lesnar. Wait, is that... That sounds rad.
That doesn't sound lazy at all. That sounds
awesome.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I don't know. Is that Jimmy Jacobs in the chat Jimmy room? Because that's smart. All right. Well,
I would actually really like to see that match.
Here's the other big news of the week, and that is Neville, who resuscitated his career, now all of a sudden is on apparently on the way out. Top cruiserweight talent exodus. It was Austin Aries, and now apparently Neville was not at TV, has requested his release, hasn't been granted his release. Let's simplify it because we don't know what's going on backstage, but
sure.
Will you be upset if Neville leaves the WWE?
I mean, yeah, obviously I enjoy watching it, but it's not like he's not going to land on his feet, you know, if he lands at all. I mean, gravity forgot him, clearly, but he's a huge talent. So if he kind of found out from creative that, okay, well, now you're not going to be fighting for the title anymore in this, you know, lesser quote unquote division of the cruiserweights, should he be satisfied with that? Like, how long would it be then before he kind of gets out of that little kind of spot in the middle of the cruiserweight division? Like, I don't know. Maybe that does sound a little bit disheartening to him after all the hard work he put in really building that thing up. I think though, like for the WWE, the question is like, did you actually build it back up, or were you a good storyline in it? And now we're seeing, once Neville joined, the cruiserweight division. That's when actually like the YouTube numbers went up on, and for the, you know, all the cruiserweight stuff, people started watching 205 Live.
Well,
I think they're probably looking at it just from a business decision, like, hey, we gotta push this angle, which is working.
Well, I it makes all the sense in the world to me, because, you know, God bless all those guys who were on the Cruiserweight Classic, but, you know, they had to go from 0 to 60, right? All of a sudden, they all joined the WWE at the exact same time. Some of them had been there before, but now here's a division. We also don't really know what it's going to be, and also we're going to give you guys dead crowds that are happening at the end of SmackDown. So go ahead. And it wasn't until Neville showed up that it really felt like, oh, wow, this is now Neville gets to be the star. He gets a lot more time, gets a lot more time to talk. He's going to be a bigger focus on Raw than if he was just himself. And this whole idea of, like, disheveled, scraggly-ass beard, like angry chip on his shoulder Neville was rad. It was just a cool character.
It was. I'm just saying, like, it was rad for guys like us, but it didn't really seem to, like, really just tick the right box for a lot of the standard WWE fans, right? They still weren't getting, you know, a big reaction, even during Neville's really impressive run as the king of the cruiserweights, right? Well, and then all of a sudden, Enzo shows up on it, and you look at the YouTube numbers, it's like, gone through the roof since.
Well, because Enzo's a star, but I mean the idea.
But Neville, I think, probably thinks I could be a star if you just let me be a star, and I think that might be. It makes sense to me why he would want to leave. It also makes sense to me why WWE might think, yeah, this didn't really do what we expected it to do, so we're going a different direction. Like, both parties are, like, I think, totally justified in their actions. If this is, if the story that I've heard is kind of the truth, where he didn't want to be relegated down to a mid-card in the cruiserweight spot, and they were like, yeah, that ran its course, right? It's like both sides have valid arguments here. And to be honest, Neville's going to make a ton of money if he goes to the Indies right now. So to me, it's like there's no real loser in this scenario except maybe like huge Neville fans who only watch WWE.
No, I will say this. I do think that there is a lot of money in the banana stand for a longer program with Neville and with Neville and Enzo, and whether it's Enzo cheating to win.
That burned out quickly, didn't it?
Like, yeah. I think that's there's more there now. Possibly Neville agrees, and they're telling him, nah, but we really want to put the heat on Kalisto right now, so we have to put you kind of in a lower rank. Then, you know, then there's that. I don't know. I just
who
feel
does
like
he feud with, though, and like he's destroyed everybody, right? And it took somebody kicking him in the balls to actually like win the title off him. So, you know, it's like Tozawa, that kind of ran its course. Like, it's maybe he just feels like
Tozawa.
There's really nothing for me to do here. So
I just love the way he said Tozawa.
Yeah, I'll miss that. But you know what? Maybe Tozawa ends up on the Indies too, and then we get to see them go out and pull out the full arsenals that they can do.
Well, you're obviously dead right. There is no limit to the amount that he is going to light up the Indies, because he is a prototypical indie guy, right? I mean, if anything, he peaked at the Indies before the Indies were making the kind of money that they're making now, and now he could go to Ring of Honor and immediately do a program with Cody or join the Bullet Club and wrestle Dalton Castle, and everybody would freak right out, right?
Well, we're going to get to see, you know, like Pac against, you know, Ricochet, and Pac against Will Ospreay, and Pac. We're going to see all that kind of crazy stuff that they used to do too.
Ricochet, maybe not for long, because that's the other
not
rumor.
Not for long, but but for a little while longer. Not much, though.
Ricochet is out here on Twitter talking about how much fun he had in New Japan Pro Wrestling in past tense. So it looks like he is going to finally get his wish, and that is to have his contract with Lucha Underground expire.
Sure. Yeah, he's finally going to be in the football stadiums, as it were.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like I look forward, because if you watch some of those old, there is old matches when Neville was known as Pac against all these other like high flyer dudes, and some of the stuff they did is insane.
Apparently, so, the match that got him signed was him versus Prince David, Finn Balor.
Sure.
And they both wound up getting signed because it was this amazing match. You can go ahead and look that up, just Pac versus Prince Devitt. All right. Let's,
yeah, he kind of did everything before he came to WWE, so he's got he knows all the people too. So
I guess here's the one thing, and I didn't follow a lot of his stuff in the indies, but like I really probably I was most passionate and fell most in love with wrestling in this most recent run with NXT, and really the NXT run of Sami Zayn finally getting over on Neville, right? And that was just a great face versus face. Underdog who you know gets right over to the top of the mountain only to be kicked down the hill so many times and then finally gets his one big victory, and then how they spun that right into Kevin Owens was just brilliant and amazing, and it was awesome. And even then Neville was great because he was a great worker. This is the first time that I saw Neville over these last couple months where I was like, that man is the total package. Like, he's mean. He's got a character that I can have different opinions on. He can be a heel. He can be a face, but I still know he doesn't shave every day because he's got a scraggly-ass beard, and he thinks that, everybody overlooks him, and because we all do, because he's tiny. He's 3'7", right? But he is chiseled beyond belief and can probably outwork anybody in the company. Like, everything came together, and I just hope that in the indies you don't have to have everything come together. You know, now you're seeing a lot more guys that do it, but you really just have to wrestle well and be indie famous. That's really all you have to do. And I just hope he keeps going with that if he does wind up leaving.
So the era you're talking about was kind of like me getting back into wrestling in a big way too, because I'd started watching it again. Before NXT was like, I'd come back into it before NXT was like kind of hitting its stride, which is like what, 2012-ish, 13-ish, something like that. I'd already kind of started getting back in WWE, and that's when I discovered NXT. And you remember at that time, guys from the main roster were like coming to NXT to fight them. So I remember very well like Cesaro, Neville, and stuff like that. Like that, those matches were insane.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just his work rate, right? It was just like, this is a guy who does amazing things. But I think he's proven that he can do kind of all of the things that wrestling requires. And I hope that he doesn't just throw all the character out, for sure. I'm with you on that.
I hope so. All right, let's go ahead and get to our philosophical question of the week. Willie, go ahead.
So there's a big thing in wrestling. People always talk about the pushes. Give this guy a push. Give that guy a push. Why is this guy getting a push? What is going on that guy? Like, there's always this stuff about people getting a push, as if the wrestler didn't do anything themselves to push themselves. Right?
Yeah.
It's always something that has just come down from on high. Here I present to you your push. Right? And we've heard many times. Things like Vince McMahon saying, oh, nobody's grabbing the brass ring or whatever, like all that kind of stuff, right? So people do really believe that it almost seems like in some people's minds, I think it's just arbitrary, right? Like that they just pull a name out of a hat and they're like, Jinder Mahal is getting a push.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of wondering, like, have you ever in your life felt like you just got a push? That felt kind of arbitrary, because I think that this it's funny. Like I want to take wrestling things and apply them to real life in ways that maybe we didn't think of our lives before.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time where you were just like, I just got a push? Like, wow, that was weird. Where did that come from?
I do. When I was first going to college, I knew I was involved in like my high school student newspaper and everything, and so I knew I wanted to be involved in going to school for newspaper writing. I knew I wanted to just do it. I had heard that there was a good student paper in Syracuse called the Daily Orange, so I just showed up kind of looking just to write. You know, I just am like, hey, like, it's me, old wet behind the ears kid from Florida, and I just want to give I want to see if I can write. And they're like, I guess I'd gone there asking for a job, thinking that like that they would just put me to work wherever they could, that they were this well-oiled machine, right? Now, I wound up finding out later that there was kind of reasoning for this, but they were in desperate need for just warm bodies to do a million different jobs. So immediately I applied for an editor position. I didn't wind up getting it, but they were like, hey, apply for this other thing. Not knowing that like I was going to get it because they desperately needed people. And so like all of a sudden I go from I'm just kind of looking to get involved to now I'm drawing a paycheck and I have a 5 day a week gig.
Yeah, you're like there all the time. Yeah.
I am now a professional journalist in that I am getting money to do it. And like I felt like, wow, I guess this is a thing. I didn't know. There's literally they had no idea on how figuring out whether or not I had talent or if I was good. Like I got the push. I was just on the main roster all of a sudden. And luckily I did a good job and I figured things out. I realized that kind of a call up, as it were, was probably more common than you might otherwise think. But yeah, no, it was the first time that I just felt like I don't deserve this. And yet here I am.
Sure.
The bright lights are on. Let's start tap dancing.
Well, so now do you think so? Because I also hear a lot of times in wrestling, people say he got a push he didn't deserve. And that's why it failed. Right. Like this guy wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, like, do you think that that's actually true? Because like I think you can be not ready and still make the most out of a push. Right. It's really just about like what you end up because, you know, obviously, like you can be a quick learner, you can be a slow learner, whatever. But if you just kind of do everything you can with it, then it will work. Right. Like pushes are supposed to work.
Well, OK, but this is actually God, I love these philosophical questions, because ultimately I think that this is universal. This is life.
Yeah.
That a push in wrestling, as we understand it, is a opportunity to succeed whether or not you are ready.
Yeah.
And in life, there are two kinds of people. People that are made excited by not knowing where they're going. And people that are terrified by not knowing where they're going. And, you know, once you get into rare air, once you all of a sudden are punching above the weight class that you were at before, either you're going to say, oh, my God, I'm overmatched for this. How do I get matched? Or you say, I'm overmatched for this. Why can't they slow it down? And sure. The people that are the former, I think, succeed more. And the people that are the latter, you know, you see almost a retrograde a little bit.
Yeah. And honestly, when you get the push and you're not the type of person that can handle it, you end up, yeah, following lower than you were before. And then you end up, in a sense, kind of spoiling future pushes. Right. Like, and we see this in wrestling, too, where people get the push. They get the, you know, here's your opportunity. It doesn't work. They don't do what they're supposed to do with it. And suddenly they're just like never heard from again.
Yeah.
Right. And you're just like, where did that guy go? And then you find out he's like back on the indies and, you know, in friggin' gymnasium somewhere. And it's, you know, like I remember I would say like
which,
my push.
By the way, unrelated.
Sure.
The show in the Cow Palace will involve a championship match where Jeff Cobb will defend his APW championship against Jack Swagger.
Wow.
As we saw, saw set up, and I'm so pumped! Everybody, wow. Come on out to the APW Cow Palace show. It's gonna be great.
That's pretty awesome. But like, okay, so I would say like my push was, you know, the instance, right? Like when when Randy left, but the thing is like I was thinking about this, and I was trying to think of like pushes in my life that I felt were like undeserved, but at that time we had taken the AIE podcast and like turned it into something that people cared about. When before it was just like people didn't really know what to do with it, right? And it was the hugest guild in the World of Warcraft, and you know, there was a lot to talk about there. And the show before it wasn't bad; it just wasn't really representative of like what you could do with that type of a show, right? So in a lot of ways, it was just that like Scott had kind of discovered that show had gone somewhere, and who was responsible for it. So I felt like I deserve this, right? But I think that the feeling of suddenly feeling like I almost wish that I felt at the time like I didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Because it would have changed things in a huge way for me, I think. Like, because I do remember when I got hired, I was back in college. I'd gone back to school because I was like, I just want to have a radio degree. I want to have a degree in broadcasting. So I went back, and then I was working at Apple just like as a salesman and whatever, like just doing whatever stupid thing at Apple just to make money while I was in school. And a guy walked in, I sold him an iPhone, and then he hired me to work at like a tech startup, right?
Yeah.
I remember that feeling of being like, yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
But that being like, I went home and like worked on it and worked on it and worked on it until like I was a core member of that team, right? And so it's almost like the push that you feel like you don't deserve, if you can become that type of person, or if you can, you know, bring that person out of you that is the overachiever that was always in there that you just didn't have the opportunity to show. That's almost like a better way to really like push yourself and get the best out of yourself than the push that you feel you deserve. A lot of times you feel you deserve it and then you coast, right?
Oh, God,
and in some ways I coasted a little bit as a podcaster for a while. It helped me in a lot. Like, I think like the tack becoming as popular as it was like my actual push. 'Cause the instance I was just kind of like, I'm here. I'm ready to talk World of Warcraft. And it got me like people to know who I was, but it was those pushes where I wasn't really ready, right? Like, I'm going to create a show from scratch with Garrett and Jocelyn.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a job at a tech startup. I don't even know what the hell. I don't know how to write code. I don't know any of this stuff, right? And I'm expected to jump in and be a valuable part of the team. Those were huge moments, I think. And it's like the push that was most obvious to me, the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, that was one I felt I deserved. So didn't really impact me personally, like my personality, as much as some of these other things. It's like the fish out of water scenarios show you who you really are, you know?
Here, spoiler alert, kiddos, life is discomfort.
Yeah.
And the more you don't repel yourself from it, but understand it and process it, the better off you're going to be. Because
yeah, absolutely. And also like don't look for the obvious moments in your life. Look for the ones that you didn't see coming, and recognize those as like big changers, game changers. Because, you know, like I look at a guy like Jinder, and like a lot of people say, oh, he's not doing what he's supposed to do with this push, he still sucks. I'm like, well, look, Jinder before is definitely not Jinder now. He definitely stepped into this role.
Yeah.
Whether you like his wrestling style or not really doesn't have anything to do with how much the man has improved as a product, right? So
The question's going to be, when they take away the big Jumbotron and they take away the Singh brothers, how much of there is still the new Jinder? That'll be the test to see how far he's come. Hey, by the way, we didn't get to this, but it would be remiss if we didn't mention heel Sami Zayn. What was your impression of heel Sami Zayn?
I really enjoyed it. I'm not 100% on board with the raising of the hands at the end. That was a little bit weird, but the promo made so much sense. And like, this was the thing I didn't want them to do, was go back on it or you know, not quite get the character right. And I feel like they really got the character right, which was just, yeah, I'm doing the right things and it ain't working.
Yeah.
You're doing all the wrong things and it's working. So I'm going to start doing the wrong things and let's fix this. It was exactly where that needed to go. And now we'll see. You know, they don't have Jimmy Jacobs anymore to write this great stuff. So we'll see if they can sustain it. But so far, so good. So
although I guess Jimmy Jacobs was back on Raw because you know, he was out there for the Bullet Club. So who knows?
Mm.
I thought it was great. I'm excited. I just want more hijinks, more best friends hijinks with them. Hijinking it up and getting all wild.
This is a push that is deserved, by the way. Sammy's been,
oh Jesus Christ, you ain't whistling Dixie.
Yeah, he's been putting on great matches forever in like the mid card, and it's funny. Somebody posted something about Kevin Owens has been on every single pay per view since he debuted, and I'm trying to think of the Sami Zayn pay per views. It's like maybe three or four, right, at this point.
Yeah.
He really has not been showing
Kevin
up
Owens,
anything but like Raw is like a comedic foil for people.
Kevin Owens, talk about somebody that was ready for the push.
Yeah,
Kevin Owens,
seriously,
ready for the push. Every little bit of gas that guy has been given, he has taken it and really just done Wow.
Yeah, incredible
so much
work. By the way, here's the last point I want to make about the push. Is yeah. I think that the other thing that happens is a lot of people see someone else get the push and they feel like, yeah, that guy just got lucky and got pushed, right? I want people when they see, like, let's say somebody else in your workplace seems to keep getting promotions and you feel like it should be you. Maybe instead of being jealous or whatever of that person, think about why maybe they're getting that push. Maybe they are doing the right things, and maybe there's something that you could be doing differently to earn those pushes, right, in life. Like, sometimes it is, like, Justin's the right place, right time, but you also showed up and applied, right? Like, you did the thing. You did yeah. the one part that you could do.
Yeah.
Like, always think of the thing that you could be doing that you might not be doing, and not, like, what the other guy isn't doing that is making him not deserve it. Like, don't worry about what that guy's doing. Do the thing you can do, the next thing you can do, right?
Knock on doors, talk to people. Hey, look, I've said this a million times, and Brian loves quoting me on it, but, you know, talent doesn't fear talent. If you want to be surrounded by other people that will benefit you, here, this is every field I have ever known, right? And the competitive ones, like the independent creator or the, like, the ones that feel very zero sum. There is a general populace, right? People learning their footing, doing it every once in a while. Then there's a real backbiting kind of layer, and that's all the crabs grabbing each other so just one doesn't get out of the pot, you know, kind of jealousy. And then right past that, it's like that's the smog level, and then there's pure oxygen right past that. The top of every field are a bunch of people that know what that struggle's like and have succeeded more because they have purged the shitty, jealous people out of it. You know, the top, top, top. And that's what you want to be, is you want to recognize yep. talent, and you want to be good to other talent, to other people in your life that are good. Think about how you can help them, and they will think about how they can help you. Universal fact, in my opinion.
I agree.
All right. Let's get into our most popular segment of the show, and that is our Shitty Melodica Challenge. We're running low on these, so we're going to need the maestro to tune up the melodica one more time if we want to keep this going. Let's play last week's Shitty Melodica Challenge.
I mean, my only guess for this one was Hornswoggle, because it just sounds like a little Irish ditty.
You are dead right. That is indeed the Swoggle, as wow. he is known out
Vince
on
Vince McMahon's
the
son, Hornswoggle.
Exactly. He was the anonymous GM, right, under the ring?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God, that was a dark moment in wrestling history.
Yeah, man, tell you what, happy that it was part of my blackout period. By the way, yeah, J.C. Calhoun yeah. saying
it's
game
funny
recognized.
When you watch those segments, you know?
J.C. Calhoun saying game recognized game, Grandpa. Yeah, listen, I'm not saying it's an original thought. I'm saying that I say talent doesn't fear talent, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right,
by the way, there's a funny stable of wrestlers who are in my blackout period, and the other day, it's like Carlito was just always one of them, where I was just like, who is this guy again? And then you look and you're like, man, he wrestled everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. And he's still going, by the way.
Spits
he's,
in the face.
He's still doing it.
Of those who do not want to be cool. All right, here we go. This is our this week's Melodica Challenge. All right, one more time.
Wow. Not a lot to work with there.
All right, folks. Mm. If Dills, you have any thoughts?
Oh man, I know. I think I'm so far away from this one. It feels like the the instrument is probably supposed to be guitar. I just need to find that rhythm. Because there's literally like there's two notes in that. So yeah, I gotta find it.
I mean, I think you just nailed it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to figure it out, go ahead. I think I got it. Go ahead and become a patron, huh? Why don't you? Patreon.com, patreon.com/1900wrestling. That is where you can support the show. And every Monday, not only do you get this program, but you also get a downloadable copy of our Shitty Melodica Challenge, and you get to find out what the answer is. Go ahead and kick in a little bit. Every single dime that comes in goes to our Wrassle Fund, where we use that money to go to wrestling shows. By the way, War Games tickets went on sale on this week, Dills. Did you entertain any thoughts about getting tickets down there in Houston?
I'm willing to still entertain thoughts. I was a little distracted with injuries.
Oh, but, the injury, yeah.
I am definitely into entertaining these thoughts.
Well, tell you what, maybe we'll have to figure that out. That's very, very exciting. And also, people were telling us that we were mixing up War Games and World War III. They both do have war in the titles. World War III was the three-ring battle royal, but we correctly described War Games as being invented to have people face off against the Four Horsemen. It's basically Stable Wars, the concept. It was Dusty's Stable Wars. But anyway, we can figure that out as we go along. That about wraps it up. Willie Dills, what do you got going on?
Just check me out on Twitter. I'm at Willie Dills. Twitch.tv/WillieDills is where I stream the Hearthstone and probably some Eternal, which is another card game that I've been really getting into lately. So yeah, just check me out there. Streaming. We should be streaming about every day now. I'm well enough, as long as I keep this arm up in the air most of the time, I'm well enough to now actually sit in front of a computer and not feel absolute discomfort all the time. So
yeah. Well,
should
I'll
get
tell
back
you what,
on the horse here.
Now is the time. If you would like to be a good brother to Willie Dills Gregory, come on by his stream, give him a few bits, maybe sub him up if you will. I know that this week specifically, it would be greatly appreciated. So, as for me, you can always go ahead and find me twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. We stream this gosh darn program every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. That is 6 p.m. Eastern time. And that's about it. That's about it. Until next time, my name is Justin Robert Young. He is Willie Dills Gregory. This is 1-900-WRESTLING. Be dialing!
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John... Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.